All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, one of the amazing things the Lord does is very interesting to me. I was thinking about this a few minutes ago. We have been talking about divine guidance and direction for about 12 weeks, actually, I think. This is about the 12th week, right? We started this, I think, sometime at the beginning of July, right? Yeah, thereabout. So this is like almost like the 12th, thereabout. I know 1 week we did review, but we've been at this for about 3 months. 6 to 8 weeks, and the Lord is my witness about this, almost 6 to 8 weeks of those 12 weeks consistently running, as I'm getting ready and putting the service together and kind of putting my notes together, almost 6 to 8 weeks consistently, I had Acts chapter 27, which the story there that I shared last week that I was going to use to minister on not just the channels, but even some of the aspects of how the Lord sometimes walk outside of what is seen and what is perceived by how we feel. You all remember the story in Acts chapter 27 where Paul and the people in that voyage were headed towards Rome, and suddenly Paul started perceiving something in his spirit. And he said to them, I perceive that, you know, this voyage is going to be with some harm. And he told the owner of the ship. The owner of the ship wouldn't listen. And, of course, as they went along, they saw this, you know, they had this gentle breeze, it says. There was this gentle breeze from the south. And the Bible says, you know, they thought, wow, you know, everything is fine. Let's just go. Because they all wanted to go to Phoenix. You know, the idea was they really needed to get to Phoenix. Because the weather was changing, and they were starting out from Crete, headed towards Phoenix. Phoenix was a very beautiful place, especially in the winter. Crete was not super great in the winter season. And so, when Paul started to say, I perceive that there's something ahead of us, I think the pressure to get to Phoenix for the winter was so overwhelming that they wouldn't listen. And of course, shortly after they had this light breeze, they thought, "Oh, we got it. You know, we everything is perfect now." And shortly after that, there was the hurricane. So for about 6 to 8 weeks, out of this 12-week teaching that we'll be doing here, I have wanted to get to this story in Acts chapter 27. But every time I go there, you know, the Holy Spirit just pushes me away from there, like, no, not yet. I'm thinking, this is the scripture I need. This is the one that helps explain some of these things. No, not yet. You know, we read last week in Acts chapter 16, when the apostles, Paul and his team, when they got to the borderline of Asia, they were about to go into Asia to preach the word, the Bible says the Holy Spirit forbade them. He said, no, don't do that. And I explained last week, it wasn't that the Holy Spirit was telling them, don't ever go to Asia. You remember this? The Holy Spirit was saying, it's not time for Asia yet. Asia is not ready yet. Amen. And so sometimes when the Lord nudges us in certain ways, even when it seems like we feel like this is really the time for this, it may not necessarily be that the Lord is saying, I don't want you doing this at all or whatever. I just maybe this is not the best time for this. So that was my experience with Acts chapter 27. And So, of course, finally, last Sunday, I knew I had 2 more weeks to go. And so I pulled out my Acts chapter 27 again. That's right. And I was wondering if there was going to be that push again. Not yet. But this time, the Lord said, yeah, this is it. This is it. And after the service, I was introduced to a young woman. Some of you met that lady who was visiting for the very first time here. And I understand she was from Arizona. And I spent the bulk of the service talking about Phoenix, Arizona, which, of course, I had never done before. And this lady is from, I think she said Prescott. Prescott is less than 2 hours' drive from Phoenix. And so when she was introduced to me, I said, oh, she said, do you know, yeah, I know Prescott because, you know, we've been to, that's what I was trying to remember last week that I couldn't remember. It was the Grand Canyon. It was the Grand Canyon. That's how we got to, you know, Phoenix, spent time in Phoenix and went over to the Grand Canyon and all of that. So you know, when I left from that, I was laughing about that. You know, I've learned to stop saying God has a sense of humor. Now I just say, you know, God is amazing with the way he walks. He is amazing. Because the story about Phoenix was supposed to be preached on a day that someone from that area was in the service. Amen. 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 And we had no way of knowing that. Amen. And so I'm very, very, very excited about everything that we have learned so far. And I'm going to wrap this up today, and, you know, this was a little bit of a struggle for me, how to wrap it up and how to close out the series, which I couldn't quite make a final decision about it until this morning. So early this morning, after I got that direction, I sent a message to Pastor Emmanuel to help me get ready. Because I want to minister a little bit from that little book that we just put together, or we just advertised as an ebook. I want to minister a little bit from that book this morning. That's just, finally I got that direction. So this is how to wrap up the series. Last week, of course, we talked about, if you followed us, and I want to encourage you to go back and listen. Some of these things they're not just relevant for the moment, they are relevant for our future. So I encourage you, go back and listen and study and take notes and go back over your notes. Sometimes people ask me counsel, and I know that some of those things have already been ministered. So I say, there's a particular service in which I was talking about this. Please go and get that message and listen to it again, or go over your notes, because the word of God is powerful, not just in the moment, but all the direction we will ever need is in it. And the reason I shared that Phoenix story with you, it just all the more, it gave more credence to what the Lord's been ministering to us, you know, to just learn. Nothing, we sometimes think, oh, this is too small. No, everything is significant in your life. Everything, every step is significant. You may say, I want to travel today. You've planned, I'm traveling today. And the Holy Spirit just wouldn't give you a release to travel today. So then what do you do? Don't travel. Don't be disappointed. Don't say, well, I thought the schedule You know, for some reason, you just feel this hold back. Don't travel today. I remember several years ago, I was way back then, used to be involved in this cross-country business in Nigeria while I was also pursuing postgraduate program in one of the universities. But every weekend, my weekend was typical. Most weekends I would, well, I'm not sure if it was one or two weekends a month that I missed, or I can't remember now, but most weekends I would start out like on a Friday, get out from campus, head towards Lagos, which was the capital city of Nigeria at the time, and had a business partner who was a distribution center for a lot of Christian materials, Bibles, books, Christian books. This is the season where I developed, I became a voracious reader of Christian books. A lot of gospel Christian books, then tapes. Way back then, it was all tapes. You know, this was cassette tapes. I don't know if any of you was alive then. There were no CDs, no MP3s, no none of that, right? Here you go. And you know, sometimes you play some of those cassette tapes and they just, your cassette player eats them up, you know, because they're, so you have to bring them out, you look for a way, you tape it. I still remember taping some of and all of those kind of materials and, you know, very fancy gospel things and all of that. And I'll take shipments of those and take them to Kano. Kano was in northern Nigeria. That's really, way back then, that was one of the most unchristian, most ungodly, most whatever in the nation, a Muslim stronghold. But there were a lot of openings. There were quite a number of Christian booksellers, Christian shop owners there. So we would distribute those Christian materials to them. Of course, we sold them to them. And those people also sold things that were called, way back then we used to call them like leather stuff, like leather slippers, leather bags. Some of you might remember some of these things, you know. And we would buy those from them. And those were very popular in Lagos. Lagos people would pay a lot of money for that. So I would take those to Lagos and sell and blah, blah, blah. But I remember, the time was so fixed, you know, I had to leave a certain time on Friday evening, get to Lagos, get the consignment and get on. And usually I traveled in the night. I would get on the night bus because you traveled all night from Lagos to Kano. And then you traveled all night back from Kano to Lagos. And then you wrap up on Sunday evening and you headed back to school. So, I never forget this. As long one particular weekend, I got the shipment from Lagos. Everything seemed fine. Got to the bus station to get on the bus. And usually these buses left at certain times. They were scheduled times when they left. And if you miss one, the one you are supposed to be on, it could actually totally destabilize your plan for that weekend. So you can't really make the exact time that you are supposed to arrive to drop off the stuff and get new stuff and get back before Sunday evening. So, you know, time was really of the essence. And I remember I got to that bus station. For some reason, somehow or the other, it was a very close shave, but the one I was supposed to be in, and you usually buy your tickets ahead of time, the one I was supposed to be in, somehow or the other, they said, no, we can't let you in this one. We oversold the ticket. I think that's what they said, something like that. We oversold. Oh, I said, no way, I've got to get on this bus. Because For me, time, it was time. Time was of the essence. I said, no way, I've got to get on this bus. They said, no way. I mean, and you know, they had conductors at the door who were very strong, muscular people, so, you know. So I said, no. So I, you know, I started losing my cool. And of course, I reminded myself, you're a child of God. So I backed up. And finally, grudgingly, I waited for the next bus, which I think was maybe a couple of hours, maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 hours or so after that one that left for Kano. Remember, we traveled all night. In the middle of the night, we arrived at, got very close. I think maybe we were about 2 or 3 hours away from Kano, middle of the night. And from afar, all of us in this next, this bus that I finally got in, saw ahead of us smoke and fire ahead. And cars were parking, and all these cars were lining up and parking and parking. Of course, usually you saw things like that a lot. You just knew there had been a very bad accident. And finally, when we arrived there, it was the bus I was supposed to be on. Just about everybody on that bus was dead. Just about everybody on that bus was dead, burnt to ashes. It's not like here when you have accidents and, you know, you call 911, you know, depending on what part of the city, what part of the country you live in, most of the time, firefighters get in there soon enough, many times. I mean, it's no 911, and even if you call 911, there's nobody, there's no water, thank you, or whatever, no wonder, you know. So generally, when you have those fiery accidents, most of the time, people hardly survive them. Hardly ever survive them. Well, somehow, the Holy Spirit saw to it that I did not get on that bus. Even though I was upset about it, even though I was calculating with my time, because my eyes were more on my time than on the overall picture that the Lord had. And sorry about that. When it was all done, and as we drove slowly past that bus, I broke down in thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for preserving my life. Thank you, Lord, for preserving my life. Being led by the Holy Spirit is the singular most important key to success in every area of life for any believer. Being led by the Holy Spirit is the singular most important key to success in every area of life for any believer. You cannot afford to be led by present circumstances or the opinion of people or your feelings, your thoughts, your mind, your intellect, or your logic. Let me say that again. We cannot afford to be led by circumstances, the opinion of men, our feelings, our thoughts, our mind, our intellect, or logic. If the Lord is not your light, He cannot be your salvation. Life is so unpredictable, and things can change suddenly, but God is always ahead of the game, so be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's say that one more time, that last line. life is so unpredictable and things can change suddenly, but God is always ahead of the game. So be led by the Holy Spirit. What are the five channels through which God sends direction into our lives? We learned this last week. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit. Number three, your heart. Number four, human vessels, especially ministers. And number five, the ministry of angels. Let's just do this one more time. There are five channels through which the Lord brings direction into our lives. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit. Number three, your heart. Number four, human vessels, especially ministers. And number five, the ministry of angels. When I thought about wrapping up this series, I thought to go back and close it out where I started from in the 23rd Psalm. If I had the opportunity to put everything together and talk about one of these channels, one of these five channels through which the Lord brings direction into our lives. They are all extremely important. But if I could only focus and pick one of them, I would focus and talk about the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Holy Spirit is the singular most important key to success in every area of life for any believer. In Psalms 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Every time you think about the Good Shepherd who is with us here on earth today is the Holy Spirit. Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. If you think about everywhere you see what the shepherd does, think about the Holy Spirit. When you think about what the Good Shepherd does, think about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read Psalm 23 again from the Amplified. And this time, I'm going to replace the Lord with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my shepherd, to feed me, to guide me, to shield me. I shall not lack. The Holy Spirit makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. The Holy Spirit leads me beside the still and restful waters. The Holy Spirit refreshes and restores my life. The Holy Spirit leads me in the path of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for the Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit's rod protects me. The Holy Spirit's staff guides me. And the Holy Spirit comforts me. He is my comforter. The Holy Spirit, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Holy Spirit, He anoints my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love will follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, I will dwell in the house of the Lord and in His presence. And that presence shall be my dwelling place because He is the Holy Spirit. The singular most important key to success in every area of life for every believer is the Holy Spirit. Somebody say that with me, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Say one more time, say the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is the spirit of light. Our human spirits are God's flashlights through which He illuminates every part of our lives. When we are plugged into the Holy Spirit, we have access to all the illumination of the Godhead. When we are loosely connected to Him, we run for a while on short life batteries and our lights dim until we run out of His divine energy. In order to be endued with power, we need to have a healthy, ongoing relationship with the power source. When we seek to know God's heart and please Him in all that we do, the Holy Spirit has a greater liberty to accomplish His purposes in our lives. Jesus was clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit while on earth. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 tells us how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, for God was with Him. God was with Him. The God who was with Jesus was the Holy Spirit. The garment that was responsible for the success that Jesus experienced in His life and ministry was the Holy Spirit. The anointment. The anointment that was upon the life of Jesus Christ was the Holy Spirit. The guidance that Jesus had, where He never missed a step on His journey, was from the Holy Spirit. Look at that scripture. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. God was with him because the Holy Spirit was with him. Hallelujah. And by that special unction, Jesus did great exploits. One dimension of that unction was the Holy Spirit resting upon him and filling him with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, and revelation. That's what we call divine direction. When you have the graces of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, when all those graces are working in your life, that's what we call divine direction. That means you know how to take the right step at the right time. You know where to go each time. You know how to move each time. That's what the Holy Spirit does for a believer. We cannot succeed in life without that same unction resting upon us. When we devote ourselves to intimate and consistent fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He releases His grace into our lives And that unction flows endlessly. Do you long for a greater dimension of God's presence in your life? Then tell him so. Ask him to come and reveal himself to you. Tell him you hold nothing back from him. And the more of that you do, the more of the Holy Spirit you have in your life, the more successful you will become, because you will be led by him and you will not miss your step. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to go with me for a few minutes here. Let's read from Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to read a few portions further out of that book. Acts chapter 19. We're going to read the first 12 verses. Acts chapter 19. So as we wrap up this series, more than anything else, I want us to be strongly focused on the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit will always direct you to the Word of God. Always. Always. The Holy Spirit will walk in your heart and stir your conscience. The Holy Spirit will renew you in your inner man. The Holy Spirit will help you decipher what a human vessel that God is using, what aspect of what they are saying really concerns you directly. The Holy Spirit will help you decipher that. He will help you say, yeah, that's for you. That's for you. Pay attention to that. The Holy Spirit walks with the ministry of angels. So truly, if there's one of these channels that I could confidently say probably encapsulates every one of the other channels, it will be the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19 from verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples there, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We talked about last week how Paul and his team in Acts chapter 16 were about to go into Asia. And the Holy Spirit said, no, not yet. But finally, when he went into Asia, an explosion happened. Mind you, Ephesus was one of the chief cities of Asia in that period. When he came to Ephesus, he found certain disciples there. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? I wondered, why did he ask them that? Why? I mean, how many times do you and I see believers and we ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Why did Paul ask them? Because there are certain things the Holy Spirit does in the lives of believers that make them stand out. And if those things are not happening, you can tell something is missing in their experience. You can tell something is missing in their experience. Have you received the Holy Spirit, he asked them, since you believed? Some of them have been saved for a while. Some of them were recently saved. But Paul could see some things were missing. They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said in verse 4, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, we should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. Verse 5. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I want you to see something here. There were just 12 men. There were just 12 of them. Somebody say 12. Somebody say 12. Thank you, Zoe. There were just 12. I know sometimes we think it takes 12,000. Sometimes we think it takes 12 million. Sometimes we think it takes 120 million. But Paul found 12 men who had not yet fully embraced the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He introduced these 12 men to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. These 12 men were not the original apostles. You know that, right? This is not Peter, James, John. This is 12 men. He just found 12 men in Ephesus. 12 men. Ordinary men. 12 ordinary men. And he introduced these 12 men. Now, notice, these 12 men, when people saw them, they just called them evangelicals. They said they are believers, disciples, right? They carried placards. They marched. They, on social media, their voice was the loudest, talking about who believes what. But these 12 men, Paul could see they lack something that the Holy Spirit gives. Think about this for a minute. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit. The fruit. Not what sign is on your head. Not what you are saying. Not how loud you are saying it. But the Bible tells us, when the Holy Spirit is resident in a life, there are certain things that show. Fruit is what shows the kind of tree. You can see 100 different trees in a forest. But when you see a mango fruit hanging from one, you say that's a mango tree. Yeah. When you see guava fruit hanging from another, you say that's guava. Amen? The fruit is what shows what is in there. When Paul looked at this man, he couldn't see the fruit that was supposed to show the nature of the tree. From the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. When the fruit of the Holy Spirit is actively working in your life and you are constantly in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, eventually the manifestations of the Holy Spirit become apparent and become obvious. When Paul saw these 12 people and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He knew it wasn't just the fruit that was lacking. There was also the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that was lacking. Galatians 5, 22, 23 tells us in the fruit of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace. Amen. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, patience, meekness. He says, and against such what? No law. Against such, there is no law. It's not just putting on an emblem. That's not what identifies us with the Holy Spirit. It's not the card, the placard we are carrying. It's not what we are writing. It's not what we are writing. I read a beloved minister's article recently. It's a man of God that I respect very much. And at the bottom of his article, you know, people respond. You know, they respond. Usually I don't read those things, but because sometimes they're a distraction from the actual article, you know. So I just read the thing, get what I need to get from here, and keep on moving. But this time, because he was talking about some hot button issues, I decided I was going to read some of the comments. And here was one of the comments of the ones that sounded very strong, like they really agreed with the article and they really believed in the article. And he was somebody, one commentary had like asked a question or suggested like they were doubting part of what that article was saying. And here came this other commentary who really strongly believed in what the article was saying and was almost cursing this man out. The one questioning. And calling him names. And then ended the comment by saying, "But I'm praying for you." Ha. Ha. You cuss the man out. You call him all sorts of names. Then you finish by saying, "But I'm praying for you." And you are the one who has the word. You are the one who has revelation and knowledge. Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe?" Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. It's love. Joy. Peace. You can't say you have the Holy Spirit, but you are full of hate. You can't say you have the Holy Spirit, but you are full of bitterness. You can't say you have the Holy Spirit and you are always in conflict, fighting. Love, joy, peace. Some of you may not like this message, but it's the word of God. It is the word of God. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering. You can't say that you have the Holy Spirit. You can't even take a little suffering, let alone long-suffering. You can't even take little suffering, let alone long-suffering. If something, just tiny little inconvenience like this, the whole world must stop. You can't even take a little suffering, let alone long-suffering. Long-suffering. Gentleness. 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 Goodness. Goodness. That is, you are good. You are good. You are a good person. You are a good person. You are not just good because they talk like you talk. You are not good to them because they believe what you believe. You are good. You are just a good person. You have a bottle of water. They are thirsty. Hey, and you see they don't have water. Hey. You are thirsty? You know? You can see they are thirsty. Say, "No, I need revelation too." No, you know they are thirsty. Instead of offering them your cup of water, you curse them. You say, "See, judgment is upon you now. Judgment." Goodness. What happened to the church? What happened to the church? Where's our goodness? Where's our love? Where's our peace? Where's our joy? Meekness, faith, temperance. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? This almost reminds me of the body. In many of our nations, our developed nations, I bet you if Paul showed up in many of our churches, I bet you he'll ask the same question. I bet you. If Paul showed up in many of our churches, he'll ask the same, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because I don't see the sign. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because I don't see the evidence. Some people may be upset or turned off by part of what I'm saying, but it is the truth of the Word of God, though. So if I'm preaching heresy, and I don't give you chapter and verse, shut it off, because it can't be godly. But so far, I've given you chapters and verses, right? And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Isn't this the word of God? He says, against this there is no law. Against such there is no law. So, it reminds me a lot. He said, unto what then were you baptized? He said, we were baptized with the baptism of repentance. Yeah, I repented. I go to church now. But you don't have the Holy Spirit? Well, then let's make room for him. Amen. Let's make room for him today. Amen. You know, at any point, wherever we are on our journey, it's never too late. It's never too late to open up and say, you know what? I'm missing something. Let's make room for him. Let's make room for him. Because at the end of the day, just having the baptism of repentance, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I go to church. Yes, I'm an evangelical. I'm a Protestant. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a charismatic. I'm a word of faith. That is not enough. That is not enough. This has to affect every aspect of our lives. That is, we are ongoing walking with him. Doesn't mean we have it all together, but we are ongoing walking with him. We are ongoing growing. We are ongoing adjusting. We are correcting. We are addressing. We are moving forward because of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen, please. Please say amen at home if you are still with us. And in verse 7, there were about 12 men. He went into the synagogue and he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months with these 12 men, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when many were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts this, verse 9. Because it adds something that the King James doesn't add. Let's read it. Do you have the Amplified there in verse 9? Let's read it together. It says, but when some became more and more stubborn, I told you stubbornness is not of God, hardened and unbelieving, discrediting and reviling and speaking evil of the way of the Lord before the congregation, he, that's Paul, separated himself from them, taking the disciples with him, and he went on, watch this now, he went on holding daily discussions in the lecture room of Tyrannus from about 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, every day. You think your preacher preached long because he preaches 1 hour every Sunday. This man preached 5 hours every day. Every day, five. I'll be five. You are reading, if it's heresy, you won't see it in the Bible. You are reading it in this Bible now, can't you? This man, 5 hours every day. But I want you to see what happened next. Go back to King James. Look at verse 10. And they continued. Somebody say they continued. Say they continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul with 12 men, people, with 12 men. 12 men. Verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs, aprons, and diseases departed from them. Evil spirits went out of them. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
How did this happen? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. They went to camp out with the Holy Spirit. They camped out with the Holy Spirit. And in a 2-year period, in this same Asia, the Bible says everybody, both Greeks and Jews, if you see, you put that up in the Amplified, you see that. Everybody, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word, heard the gospel of Jesus from Paul and these 12 men. In a space of 2 years. And from his body went out aprons, and they put it next to the sick and to the oppressed, and out of them evil spirits went out, and diseases were cast, and God wrought special miracles. I bet you, if Paul had seen these 12 people after they had encountered the Holy Spirit, there is no way on earth he would have asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you received? He would never have asked them. You know why? Because he would have seen it. The evidence would have been all over the place. What's there to ask? You will see it. It's evident. The Holy Spirit. That's what we need. There is no controversy around the Holy Spirit. Let me try to read a couple of things from this mini book before my time gets away from me here. But I share this one. I kind of laughed about it a little bit before I came out into the service. There's no controversy about the Holy Spirit. Human beings create controversy, but there is no controversy about the Holy Spirit. Everything I've said to you this morning in this service, that is the Holy Spirit. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? You remember when he said, I will send unto you, I'm leaving, but don't be sad, because I'm going to send unto you another comforter who is just like me. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You see that in verse 17, verse 16, John chapter 14. I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter. Why do you call him another? Because he's just like him. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world cannot see him, neither does the world know him, but you know him. For he dwells with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. There's no controversy in that. There's no controversy. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You receive power. That's what Jesus said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power, and you become witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. There's no controversy in that. Acts chapter 2, from verse 1. They were all together, gathered together in unity in the upper room. And suddenly, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. It came upon them, and there were cloven tongues of fire resting upon each of them. And suddenly, all of them started to speak in tongues. And everybody who came together from all over the region, all different parts of the world, they could hear them speaking in their languages. And they said, they are drunk. Peter said, no, we are not drunk. But this is as it was written in the book of Joel, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Hallelujah. And upon all of you and all flesh will I pour out of my Spirit in the last day. There is no controversy about this. It's all in the Word. Let me read a few things from here, but I kind of chuckled about this before I came out. This morning, I remember this. A few years ago, we we were. Shortly after this book was published, we were in high-level conversations, discussions with one of the Christian student bodies in one of the foremost Ivy League colleges in the United States. And at the time, just because of the burden I had for young people and students and things like that, I just wanted us to get this mini book to students in student fellowships. And somebody had connected us with this, with the leader of this particular Christian union in one of the foremost Ivy League schools in the country. And in that Ivy League college, they were having a lot of problems in that fellowship. And they told me about it. I was just so deeply within me. I was just so moved and so, burdened for them. And we had gone through a series of conversations, and so they were going to vet. In the last stage of the vetting, they had some of their other leaders in that fellowship in this Ivy League college go through the book, and they loved the book. They were so excited about the book. And remember, we hadn't gotten them to their students yet. It was just their leadership. And but the leader, the overall leader, their president, he said to me, he says, you know, they all love the book. They're so excited. I said, but there's one thing they are all struggling with. There's one aspect in the book they are all struggling with. And it's something that concerns the Holy Spirit. He said, it's controversial. I just said to you in my message, there's nothing controversial about the Holy Spirit. He said it's controversial. He said, for him, he had no problem with it. He says, you know, even though it's not everything that he said, but for some of their people, some of his co-leaders, some of them are from this background, some of them are from this denomination and that denomination and that denomination. And then this part of it that actually talks about this part is just controversial. They want us to get it to the students, but they don't know how they are gonna, they don't know how they're gonna be able to explain because they will have questions. I say, no problem. I say, I will come and I'll sit with all your leaders and I will give them all the answers that they need. Before the questions come. He said, yeah, that sounds like a great plan. So he's supposed to take notes. He's supposed to take notes. And after the meeting, on the phone, remember, this was a teleconference. Take notes. And then he was supposed to send me all his notes so that we can, and we were supposed to schedule a next meeting to move forward. I said, don't worry about it. I'll just come. I'll see if we were all your leaders. Remember, these are all young people. The leaders are college students, but the leadership was a ministry, Christian Union. So they were staff. They were young ministers. And, I was so burdened when we finished the meeting, I said, let's pray. So we planned to have a next meeting and then we'll schedule how we'll go out and meet with. And I said, let's pray. Here was I so burdened. Just, you know how you pray when you have this fire in your heart. You know, that passion prayer. Prayer. Woo! we're on the phone, remember? We're on the phone. I'm praying and he's on the other line praying. We're wrapping up our meeting. Here I'm praying. So I'm the one leading the prayer. I'm praying fire. Lord Jesus, God, oh God. And with all my heart, I prayed. And when I finished the prayer, he said, of course, it's amen. Said, amen. Glory. Amen. Amen. And right at the end of the prayer, he said, amen. And as soon as I closed the prayer, the next thing was I got a text. And in the text, he had said to me, this is everything we have agreed that we're going to do, and we're going to have a next meeting, and da-da-da, and this is da-da-da. Thank you. God bless you. I said, while I am praying with fire in my heart, this man is typing on his phone. These are the leaders.
These are the leaders. I'm here. I'm doing fire. Whoosh, Jesus. Higher. And that's just, this man is typing. He said everything right. Jesus. He said, Jesus did that.
And you guessed right. That was our last meeting. There was no follow-up. Nothing happened after that prayer.
He's the missing piece, the Holy Spirit. A life of power. When our lives lack power, is because he's missing. We can have the lingo. I'm talking, this is the overall precedent. It wasn't long after that he actually left there and went and took up a pastoring position. That fellowship in that Christian union just... See, there's no mystery to it. There's no mystery to it. This is not religion. This is a relationship. This is the kingdom of God. It's a living, our relationship with God is a living, active relationship. It's ongoing. It's like we are walking with Jesus every single day. It's like he's right here beside us. Hallelujah. And recognizing that and seeing the Holy Spirit is there, a lot of times will help you live a life of success and power. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. I'm almost done. I'm about to close. Let me read a few notes here. I'm reading from page 43. We have already talked a great deal about being led by the Holy Spirit. However, to be led by the Holy Spirit, you need to know him. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. By the way, you can get this. It's free download, so refresh. Some people think, I'm not a young Christian. I know everything. You need to refresh this because there are some things I read in this that actually make me go back and walk more on my Christian life. So nobody knows it all. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is God on the earth today. In John 14, 16 to 18, Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit or the Helper. In these verses, Jesus uses the word another when labeling him as the Helper because the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus, except that he is not limited to one place. The Holy Spirit can guide you without leaving me while helping other people all over the world as well. Notice that Jesus said he will abide with you forever. Jesus had to leave the earth after only 33 years, but the Holy Spirit is here with us to stay. He is not a thing, he is a person. He desires to have a relationship with us. The Holy Spirit communicates the words of God, the Father, to us on earth. In verse 18, Jesus claims he won't leave you as orphans, but he will come to you. Because the Holy Spirit will convey Jesus' presence and everything that Jesus needs to say to his disciples and followers. You will receive him again when you ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Every time we earnestly invite him into our lives, he will come in again to fill us afresh and reestablish his relationship with us. However, remember that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force himself into your life. Your relationship with him will change your life and equip you to accomplish your purpose. The Holy Spirit is a person and he has a personality. He will speak to you and he can be grieved. He can be resisted. He can even be sinned against. But if you open up to him, he will speak to you. He will guide you. He will help your weaknesses. He will sanctify you. He will bring forth good traits like those ones listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And he will empower you. Developing a relationship with him is not hard at all, but it takes commitment and a desire to know him. There are four things listed that can help us in developing a relationship with him. Number one, recognizing that he is a person and he's always there for you. Number two, always acknowledging his presence. Number three, making a conscious effort to invite him into active work in your life. Number four, never doing anything without asking him first. There's a very helpful prayer there that I love very much, but I'm going to jump all the way to the very end of what I'm reading here, this chapter. And this chapter is, this subtitle is Doorway to the Supernatural. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives a believer access to great power. Jesus told the disciples about what the Holy Spirit will bring into their lives in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 before he ascended to heaven. Just as the Lord had promised when the disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they also received great power and ability. In fact, after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of God manifested wherever the disciples shared the good news of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit has not changed or lost his power. You may have heard the erroneous doctrine popular in some spheres of the body of Christ that the era of the Holy Spirit has passed. But there is no evidence of this in the scriptures. He is still here in great power, anointing men and doing miracles, just like he did during the days following the initial outpouring on the day of Pentecost. And he is still here for you. I like this last paragraph right here. Remember, Jesus said he will be with you forever. Praise God, he is still here with us today. And we don't have to settle for a life of mediocrity or weakness. If you let him, if you allow him, the Holy Spirit will be big and strong in you. I like that. If you allow him, the Holy Spirit will be big and strong in you. He will move through you. He will pray through you. And he will direct you into the best life that God has ordained for you. The key is if you allow him. And my prayer for us, all of us, is that we will open up and allow the Holy Spirit to be big and to be strong in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you receive that word today? Amen. Amen. Do you want us to practice just inviting him one more time? Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Why don't you just, wherever you are, whether you are at home with us here in this sanctuary, just take a moment and invite him again. Holy Spirit, come. This is not just the words to a song. This is not just what we say when we want to see miracles. It's not just what we say when we want to feel like the presence of God is around us. No, no, no. This is what we say every day. Holy Spirit, come. Take your place in my life. Feel my life today. Feel my heart today. Feel every part of me today. Make that your prayer. Make that your own prayer. Wherever you are, just pray in a minute. Pray with us. In the name of Jesus. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. Don't do like that, young man. Don't be doing something else while we're praying. Don't be doing something else while we're praying. Let the Holy Spirit actually pray through you. Give him every part of you right now. Just invite him. Holy Spirit, come. Take over in my life. Let there be a Holy Spirit take over in my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. None of me and all of you. Manifest your gifts through my life. Manifest your power through my life. Manifest your glory through my life. Make me everything that you design my life to be. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help me, Father. Burn up the pound of my flesh on the altar of your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, reveal your glory in me. Reveal your graces in me. Reveal your anointings in me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit,
take your place as my good shepherd today. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me into all truth. I commit to following you. I commit to walking in the way that you lead me. In the name of Jesus, I commit to becoming everything that you ordained my life to be. I commit, Father, I commit, precious Holy Spirit, to becoming everything that you ordained my life to be. I commit to pleasing you. I commit to glorifying you. I commit to walking with you. I commit to knowing you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. 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 Is there someone who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives as their Lord, their personal Lord and Savior? You can't really have the Holy Spirit until you make Jesus your Lord. The first step is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. So if there's someone out there, I'd like to pray with you. And I'd like you to take this simple prayer, take a moment now to invite the Lord Jesus into your heart. He has forgiveness for you. He has mercy for you. He has everything that your life needs to be what he created and ordained it to be. And you won't be the only one praying this prayer. All of us are going to pray this prayer with you. Not because we need to, but to encourage your faith. So I'm going to ask wherever you are today, just place your right hand on your chest and pray this simple prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that I heard today. I receive your word with an open heart. I thank you because your word is working in my life already. Lord, I acknowledge my sins and I acknowledge that I don't have the power to save myself. But I know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he died on the cross of Calvary. He died for my sins. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose up for my justification. Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce every work of darkness. Precious Holy Spirit, come, be strong. Be big in my life. In the name of Jesus, I invite you, be my senior partner from this moment onward. Lead me, guide me, show me your perfect way. Help me to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Help me to become everything that the Lord created me to be. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because from this moment onwards, I know I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm justified. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. I know my life will never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen.